Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for Sunday, February 7th, 2021. Today's sermon is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you want to follow along, please go to our website at www.gracebaptistchurchnc.org, click the sermons link at the top, and then click today's manuscript. Welcome to Grace Baptist Church.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. If you would join with me and let's pray and ask God's blessing on the service. Heavenly Father, we do want to praise you this morning for the mighty God that you are. Father, even as we looked out the window early this morning and we see creation on display, Father, and that came from your hands, Father, just how beautiful creation is and your handiwork, Father. Only you could do that. Father, we just want to praise you this morning for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth, Father, to live the life that we could not live and to die the death that we could not die, Father, that we might be made righteous in your sight. So, Father, we praise you this morning for your Son, Jesus. Father, it's why we're gathered here this morning. And so, Father, we just want to ask your blessing on this time this morning. We just ask that you would lead in everything that's done. Father, that it would bring honor and glory to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Today, as we read Scripture and as we pray, we'll remember those that are on our list. It's great to see Larry back with us today. So praise the Lord for that and continue to pray for him and Nurse Lisa as she takes care of her patient. Good to see Zach here today being taken care of by the Graham family. So continue to pray for Zach. Larry's doing well. Ron is doing well with the back surgery. So continue to pray for these guys. Brian Gwynn went home last night to meet the Lord. So he has been healed completely. So you pray for Connie and the brothers and sisters and the family and Scott as they go through that. So pray for that family. We're going to read 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start at 13 and go to the end of the chapter. Blaine read last week that we were born into a living hope. And this week we're going to read of our calling to be holy. So I'll read, finish the chapter, and then we'll go straight and pray. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So as we pray, remember these. Remember Amy. I left Amy off. So pray for her and the family and all that's going on there. So let's pray together. Father, we praise you this morning. Father, we praise you in the good times and the times of rejoicing. And Father, we praise you in the times of trouble and of sorrow. Father, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, you are the Most High. Father, sovereign ruler over all things. Father, you are our waymaker, our constant. Father, you're the one who never leaves or forsakes. Father, you are our refuge, our strength, our very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, Father, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Father, cause us to be still and to know that you are God. Father, you will be exalted in the earth, and you will be exalted among all the nations. Father, we thank you this morning for the healing of Brian. Father's faith is now sight. Father, his spirit is now with you, and he will rejoice forevermore. Father, we thank you for causing him to be born again to a living hope. Father, be with Connie and Scott, brothers and sisters, and Brittany and Kendall, and all the family, Father, as they mourn the loss, but rejoice in the homegoing. Father, give them peace, understanding, and great faith during this time. Father, we lift up Zach, we lift up Amy, Larry, Ron, Father, and many others who are dealing with issues and troubles and the effects that sin has on this world. Father, meet their needs, meet their families' needs. Father, you know what's best, and Father, we will trust you in all things. Father, we thank you that we've gathered to hear your word proclaimed, to be preached. Father, be with John as he delivers it to us. Father, help us to be great listeners, and that we would receive what you have for us. We would leave changed as we've come in. Father, we thank you for our jobs and for the money we have, for the offerings that we're able to give back. Father, I thank you for these people that give in order that the ministry may continue. Father, we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
I was reminded this morning that though our sins are many, thus says the Lord, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be made white as the snow through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and let's sing that. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Well, what rejoicing our brother Brian is doing as he sings, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Redeemer, mighty to save, and you are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Unto your name.
holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praise and honor.
Back over in 1 Peter chapter 2, talking about Jesus. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins, as we remember that today. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Let's sing The Wonderful Cross.
Cross, oh, the wonderful draw near and bless your name.
Thank you. You may be seated.
This morning, if you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. As we take the Lord's Supper today, it's the first of the month, and we regularly take the Lord's Supper. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read verses 23 to 26, and then I'll make reference to some other verses there as we go through the sermon this morning to get ready to prepare for the Lord's Supper. Starting verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we read these words this morning, and as we prepare to follow your command and take the Lord's Supper, as we remember your death and so many other meanings there that we will draw out, but we pray that you would give us grace. Father, the songs that we've sung are very gospel-centered and remind us of the gospel of Christ. Father, we do. When we survey the cross, for us as Christians, well, all we see is that which is beautiful and that which comes down from the person and work of Christ to us. Father, may the Lord Jesus increase this morning. May we decrease. Pray that you would give us understanding and help us as we remember his death this morning. Pray that in spite of me that you would work. Father, we give you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read a little bit of our confession this morning as we start that speaks about the ordinances and the ordinances of the church. We have two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And then a little bit more there in our confession. And then I'm going to make some comments by way of introduction before we move to the sermon. The points are fairly short this morning, and we are going to read our covenant together. But from our confession, of a gospel church, we believe that a visible church of Christ is a congregation of baptized believers associated by covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel, observing the ordinances of Christ. Now, concerning the Lord's Supper, our confession also says that baptism by faith is a prerequisite to the privileges of a church relation and to the Lord's Supper, in which the members of the church, by the sacred use of bread and wine, are to commemorate together the dying love of Christ, preceded always by solemn self-examination. Now, there are just a few things I want to make comments on there by way of introduction this morning from our confession. First of all, as a church, we will regularly take the Lord's Supper. In fact, if we were not to baptize or to take the Lord's Supper, then I would say that we cease to be a church according to the New Testament. No. Very simply. So we regularly do that. I know some churches take it every week. Some churches take it once a month as we do, and others not so often. But I think the important principle for us is that we do it regularly. And so that's one of the reasons we do that. We always keep this ordinance before us. Second, we believe that the Lord's Supper is for baptized Christians. And there are a lot of, I could go back to the New Covenant and speak as to why we believe that as Baptists, that we only baptize believers. And I'm going to save that for other times. But the logic is obvious as well. Why would someone be united with Christ and then refuse or neglect to be baptized out of ignorance or whatever reason, and then take the Lord's Supper with the body of Christ as we do that together, especially when the Bible says to examine yourself, and then when you examine yourself, you realize you've been disobedient by not getting baptized. That doesn't fit very well. Third, self-examination is very important. It's a biblical requirement. As we observe communion together, Lord's Supper and communion are the same. We always emphasize an inward look at ourselves as sinners, and in faith and in a heart of repentance, we remember as Christians that Christ has covered our sins. That's really, that breaks it down to what we do when we remember and we take the Lord's Supper. We say, we're Christians and we believe that Jesus has died for our sins. And this is what distinguishes a true Christian from a non-Christian. It's repentance and faith. A Christian is repentant, always looking to forsake sin and to grow in godliness. That doesn't mean we do not sin. In fact, in the Lord's Supper, we come as sinners, but we lay them. Actually, Christ has already taken them. But in a way that the Lord's Supper pictures, we need Him as He has covered our sins. And we always examine ourselves. And I know that just by mentioning that with children, it's a tricky situation. But even Presbyterians who believe the Word, who baptize their infants, they do not allow those children to take the Lord's Supper till much later, at later than 12, because they believe that it is important and scriptural and biblical for someone to actually examine themselves. And so we do that. And from time to time, usually about once a year, I preach a sermon on self-examination. And we're going to do that this morning, especially as we read our covenant together. Now, when we consider the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, let's think about baptism. I'm going to compare them for just a moment. Baptism is an initiatory rite. It happens one time. It symbolizes our union with Christ. That's what baptism symbolizes. It pictures that. It pictures our commitment to Christ and His church. So baptism is a one-time thing. Happens at the beginning. Now, the Lord's Supper, though, when we compare them, the Lord's Supper is something that's continuing. It's a continuing rite. It pictures something very different than baptism, and something we do repeatedly. I look at it like this. If baptism is a wedding ceremony, when the believer publicly declares, I am a Christian, baptize me. That's what baptism is. It's a picture of something that happens one time with Christ, that union with Christ by faith. The Lord's Supper, if it's an anniversary rite or an anniversary celebration in which wedding vows are made again and again and again and again, something that continues on and on. Both baptism and the Lord's Supper picture something differently theologically as well. Baptism is a picture of justification, one-time event. It pictures what Christ has done for us. Now, therefore, those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation whatsoever. A one-time act of God, where God declares us to be not guilty based upon the death of Christ. But the Lord's Supper is a picture of sanctification, which is growth in holiness. And this follows conversion. It is one of the benefits that Christ purchased on the cross. It is our sanctification. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. This means that the believer's sanctification is an ongoing process where the Holy Spirit works in our lives powerfully to produce more and more godliness throughout the Christian life. So just as we are being renewed daily by the Holy Spirit, we repeatedly take the Lord's Supper together. And as we take it, we are picturing in numerous ways that the gospel, the Lord Jesus, He is our life. His person and His work is the basis for our justification and for our continued renewal as we take the Lord's Supper together, as we grow in godliness. As bread, as we take the bread in a moment and we eat that, and as we take the juice and we drink that in just a few minutes, and it will nourish our bodies. So it pictures Christ continually nourishing our souls because we need Him greatly. He is our nourishment. He is our sustenance. He is our refreshment. He is the source of life. That is why we do and we take the Lord's Supper. So with these things in mind this morning, let's consider the topic of renewal. When we take the Lord's Supper, it is a renewal. So I've got three truths, general truths on why as we take the Lord's Supper, it is renewal. Number one, the Lord's Supper is a renewal to Christ Himself as we remember His death. Look back at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Jesus says, this is what Paul says about Jesus, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and here's what He says. Take and eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. So as we take the Lord's Supper, we remember Christ. This word remember is far deeper than a mere commemoration or a simple just recalling or remembering something. I'll remember what happened the other day. Oh yeah, I can sort of recall that. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing more important for us to remember in the world, and it doesn't even compare, than remembering what Christ has done for us. It is a vivid and powerful recollection of the most important event in history concerning us as Christians. In the Lord's Supper, we remember all of the benefits of Christ's death, knowing that His death was for us. I think about singing this song we just sang a moment ago. When I survey the cross, what does a land surveyor do? This is a person who brings their instruments together, and they go out and they look at all of this land. It could be a small bit of land, could be one little bit of property, could be a half an acre, it could be hundreds of acres or thousands of acres, and they go out and they survey and they look at it and they find which land is the best, which land is easy to build on, which land is the best to build on, and all of the mountaintops and the valleys and everything that is out there so that someone might use that land or buy that land or do something with that land. That is what a surveyor does. Well, in the same way, when we survey the cross of Christ, what do we see? Whoa. We see so much. I am reminded of Isaiah 53. Listen to some words here. This is surveying. This is thinking about the cross of Christ. Isaiah 53:4. Surely He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then later on in 53:10, yet it was the will or the pleasure or the desire of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for our guilt. He shall see all of his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Just a few of those things there, and him taking our sin upon himself and practically taking the guilt. I remember before I became a Christian, the guilt upon my heart and upon my soul as I lived out my life, and I could not get over my guilt. There's nothing we can do outside of the work and the person and the work of Christ to get rid of our guilt. That guilt comes down to us because we are sinners and we've sinned against God. And that's part of that enmity between us and God. And that is part of the punishment that comes upon us because of the fall. It is the curse, guilt. But when Christ has come, he takes away. It says here in Isaiah 53, this guilt has been laid upon him, and he's taken that guilt away. We are no longer guilty. There's nothing, brothers and sisters, that brings more comfort to the soul than to remember the benefits of Christ's death for his people. If I had time, I could reiterate so much from the Bible, even as we're preaching through Titus just last week with redemption. He's bought us out of slavery, redeemed us, delivered us. He's purified us. And then we'll see the next couple weeks, he washes us through regeneration, through the Holy Spirit that comes down to us. He renews us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are justified. We are sanctified. We will be glorified one day. Every benefit comes down to us as we remember the death. And in that, there is renewal today. We should feel, and our feelings come along here. They follow alongside of these things. We should feel and just praise God because our sins are forgiven. And I must say, if you are not a Christian today, then Christianity to you is just, it's just a religion. It's just a coming and going and trying to do what is right, maybe. But until Christ has covered your sins, that guilt will be there. And you know what I'm talking about when you lay your head on your pillow at night. You know exactly what I'm talking about if you're a non-Christian. So I would urge you to look unto Christ and trust him. Believe in him. Trust that he has taken your sins. Repent and look unto Christ. Well, today, as Christians, though, we are renewed as we remember. That's one truth. Another truth. The Lord's Supper is a renewal of our commitment to Christ and his church. That is an inward look as we look towards the church. And here we are today, the body of Christ, in this one little place. The body of Christ is universal, and there are many Christians meeting all over the world. But we are the body of Christ here in this local place here in China Grove. 1 Corinthians 10:17. If you want to look back there just for a moment, you can. But otherwise, I'm just going to read one verse. 1 Corinthians 10:17. Paul links the taking of the Lord's Supper to the unity of the body. It is a picture of our unity. In that meal, there was one loaf, usually, where everyone took from one loaf. And we miss Miss Gunther making our bread when there was a loaf, and then we were taking from one loaf, and there was one cup. But that is the picture. We take it together. 1 Corinthians 10:17. For we, though many, are one bread, one body, for we all partake of that one bread. This communion, this Lord's Supper we take this morning, is a common meal shared by everyone, and we share it together. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, we give a clear sign to ourselves and to the world of our unity one with another. The Lord's Supper is not for those who are outside of Christ. It is for those who are in Christ, those who believed in Him, those who are united with Him. And we are one with Christ. One of the problems at the church in Corinth was their lack of unity. Right from the beginning, with the book, the letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, this was their big problem, unity. Listen to the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, 18 to 22. You can turn there with, look back there if you want with me. 1 Corinthians 11, 18 to 22. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He was saying, you're eating a meal, but it's not to show unity because you're not unified. In fact, it's not loving either. You're not loving one another in the way that you are acting. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? He was saying, what you're doing is just eating and drinking. You're not taking the love feast, the Lord's Supper. Or do you despise the church? In other words, the way they were taking the Lord's Supper, they were despising one another in the way they were acting. Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in all of this? No, I shall not praise you. Now, there's many specifics that we could add about this passage, but the important issue is that the Corinthian believers were not regarding one another in love as they came together. There were divisions. The rich, who were probably providing most of the food and providing the homes, they were discriminating against those who were poor in the way they came together, and they were eating and drinking and not waiting, and it did not show commitment to the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is rich, poor, white, black, red, yellow, Jew, Greek, everyone. Everyone is represented in the body of Christ, and we are all equal in that regard. And so when we put someone down, we don't love someone else, we discriminate, we divide against, then we do not take the Lord's Supper in the right way. And that's one of the reasons Paul was saying, examine yourselves, because look at what you're doing. See what you're doing. Repent and don't do that anymore. They were not unified in love for one another as they did not consider the body of Christ. In the same way today, we must come together in unity with love for one another. And so we should look around one with another as we take the Lord's Supper and love one another, care for one another. I believe that in many ways we do that well at Grace. In other ways, we may not do it so well. But when we take the Lord's Supper, it says to us and to the world, we love the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is precious to us. And what I want to do now for just a moment, Blaine, I think my voice is okay enough to do this today, but I would like for us to read our covenant together as we think about the way that we live. We haven't read it in a while, and this is just by way of application this morning before we move on to the third truth and then take the Lord's Supper this morning. But Greg, if you would pull that up. And we're just going to read it together. So as I just follow my lead, and this is a way of reminding us how we live, and there's a lot of things in there about how we live. There's a lot of things in there about how we treat one another. There's a lot of things in there about the way we love one another. And so let's read that together. having been brought by divine grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we joyfully and with the utmost seriousness now enter into covenant with one another as one body of Christ. We acknowledge our dependence upon God and the Bible, and that we constantly need the assistance of the Holy Spirit, especially in fulfilling this covenant. Now, therefore, in the presence of God and by His grace, we commit ourselves to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We will walk together in Christian love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We will pray for one another and serve one another, giving preference to one another in honor, and seek after that which is good for one another. We will bear one another's burdens in all humility, and accept one another as the Lord has accepted us. We will affectionately care for, watch over, and faithfully admonish one another as God gives us opportunity. We will strive to live as Christ in the world, and denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we will seek to fulfill our calling to lead a holy life, to be salt and light, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We will guard our tongues, not speaking evil or complaining against one another, avoiding all gossip, not lying to one another, but instead speaking words that admonish one another. We will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but faithfully attend the church's meetings for corporate worship, prayer, study, and fellowship, and will use our spiritual gifts for the common good. We will contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We will faithfully participate in the ordinances of the church and endeavor after unity of mind and doctrine. We will both submit to the church's discipline upon ourselves and lovingly assume our responsibility to participate in the discipline of other members as taught in Scripture. We will abstain from all practices which bring unwarranted harm to the body or jeopardize our own faith or the faith of others. We will practice personal and family worship to train our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We will be witnesses for Christ, seeking the salvation of our family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, acquaintances, and all the world. We will, when we move from this place, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. Finally, this morning, a third truth I want to bring out about renewal. The Lord's Supper is a renewal to the mission of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. When we take the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the death of our Lord to ourselves and to the world. How long? Till He comes. It's very important. As we take the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of our mission to go and tell the world that salvation can only be found in Christ. And so we go out of this place and we follow the command of our Lord, as you go, or go therefore, where? To the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So we do it right here, we do it a little farther off, and we go to the ends of the earth and we tell. So we share with our neighbors, we share with our family members, and we live accordingly so that then when they ask us, why are you living in such a way as well, then we can give them an answer and we can share the gospel with them. But we go and we make disciples. How long? Till He comes. Till He comes. And so the phrase, till He comes, it also reminds us that there is a limitation on the Lord's Supper. When we take the Lord's Supper, this is just a, this is like a dress rehearsal for what comes up at the end of Revelation with the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is coming one day. And we will have that together with other believers. We'll have that with Brother Brian. We'll have that with all our loved ones who've gone on before us. And we'll have that with those who are coming later. This is just a dress rehearsal. And so just that little non-tasty wafer, in all honesty. And I imagine that the yours is even less tasty from gluten-free and the juice there. But it is a picture of that feast one day we will have with the Lord Jesus. And we do that now till He comes. So with this hope in sight, we renew our commitment to proclaim the death of Christ until our faith becomes sight and our remembrance, as we remember, becomes reality. So with that in mind, in conclusion, just to sum up these three brief truths this morning, in the Lord's Supper, we look back in remembrance. And that's the death of Christ. We remember what He's done. We also look around right now in the present, one with another, to the fellowship as we all experience the Lord's Supper together in the body of Christ. And finally, we look forward to the consummation when Christ will return. So with that in mind this morning, we've got three tables to take the Lord's Supper this morning. So, as we've done in the past, one or two from each family or row can get up as you wish and go and take and bring back to those who are going to take with you. Here at Grace, we do practice open communion. What that means is, even if you're not a member at Grace, but you are a Christian, if you are a baptized believer in Christ and you're not under any discipline from anybody from another church, or if you're not sure that you're a Christian, then I would not take the Lord's Supper. But if you are a Christian, you believe Jesus died for your sins, and you're not under discipline from another church, come, you're welcome to take the Lord's Supper with us. So I'm going to give us a moment here in just a second, and I'm going to pray, and we'll have some time of silence. And the instructions are going to be as we've been taking them. If you'll notice, on each one of the little packages, there's two. There's the juice underneath, and there's the wafer on top. If you don't get in between them, you'll open up the juice first, and we'll take the wafer, the bread, together first. So we'll do those separately. We'll do the bread together, then we'll do the juice together. And so, if you would, go ahead and take a moment and go and pick up the Lord's Supper. Then when you come back to your seats, hey Hunter, would you go get one for me as well? Okay. One for me as well. Thanks, Cade. So you can actually go ahead and take off the top one there to get kind of ready to take it together. But before we do, I'm going to pray one more time. And I would like for us to just take a moment before I pray and just think of these things. We remember the death of Christ. We look around and love one another, and we look forward to His coming. But let's take a moment and just examine ourselves as well. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our gratefulness, we cannot even share how grateful we are. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. We are so grateful that our sins are forgiven in Christ, and in repentance and faith we look unto Him, knowing that yes, we sin this week in our hearts, maybe even in our actions, and last week and the week before, but Christ has covered our sins. If we say we've not sinned, we are liars. But when we do sin, and we know we sin, and we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we pray that You would help us this morning. Pray that Christ and His person and His work on the cross would be more beautiful to us as we leave this place today and prepare for our week. Father, we give You this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts. Search Service Starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.